Hey guys, welcome to episode 243 of the podcast. It is the first official Boy of Summer, although I would say arguably Jonah Ray is certainly official. Please pardon the very loud air conditioning in my trailer here on set of Stand Against Evil. I pre-recorded a few episodes to make sure I at least had some stuff to put out while I am here in Atlanta, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I adore John Heder, so I think it's a good one, and I hope everyone's doing great. I'll get caught up on shout-outs when I get a chance. I just wanted to get this episode up and out to you, and I hope you're having a great summer. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Stuff because I have partners and I know they don't want it and I know that it's fine, but there's some part of me left in my brain that's like, what if this is something that somewhere down the road everyone will be mad at me that I didn't keep?
I know that is the thing, because I feel like I've done this clean sweep whenever we move, and I try not to move a ton, but the last couple of years there was like two little short moves. Man,
that can really teach you what you don't need.
Oh my gosh, it is. So because fast. Moving into a new place, fun. I enjoyed that part. I like going through everything, but at the last second when you're like, wait, we have so much stuff.
Yeah.
We have so much stuff. Ugh. And I swear we cleaned everything. I mean, after our last move 2 years ago, I still feel like we have so much stuff. So now I have like a pile of papers, probably nowhere near as big as yours.
Yeah.
Where I have like, it's a chore for my kids. Like, all right, you guys want to shred paper?
Uh-huh.
Like, yay! I've got like a paper shredder. Like,
you have child slaves. Child labor.
No. That's what child slaves are for, is the opposite, where they have to tape all the paper.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
To try to bring back these documents.
You're right. You're right.
Well, I just watched Argo. Come on.
That's right. You're going to have them put their tiny eyes and tiny fingers. Yeah. Yeah, that is fun.
But it is. It is so liberating, and it's true. You finally, I mean, there are obviously items and objects that you are always going to want to hold on to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this, and you're going to get to the end of my life where it's going to be one box.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that too.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe that's why there's that, not a stigma, but the legend of grandma and grandpa's old boxes in the attic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of lots, it's always that one treasure chest.
Yeah. Maybe I should start putting more fun stuff for children in it. Like, I need some old spectacles and like a map that might lead to something.
All our lives lead down to one treasure box that's filled with the one or two things. Oh, I like the map idea.
Oh my gosh. We could really take that and run.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you feel like there's stuff that you're sentimental about that other people would be like, John, I don't know if you need to keep that.
You gotta
save all those things. Like, you gotta save every issue of Time magazine. I mean, you gotta, and that's how I found out you were a hoarder. You were very aggressively like, you know what I'm talking about. You gotta save every box top that you possibly, every time you open a can, you gotta save those lids.
Oh
like,
gosh.
Wait, I'm finding something
now
out.
Now we're
about
talking
John.
About the people who ask those questions. Those
that's
are
right.
the
That's right.
Like, no. No, I save, like, in terms of career, any, like, movie, well, I say, you know, most like cool little things. I mean, especially like, oh, and you can relate to this for sure. Like any type of, you know, action figure or t-shirt, especially with Napoleon, there was so many random things. And that was the
like
fun
fan
thing.
Art and
well,
fan,
not just
and,
fan
yeah,
art, but like
merch.
Official merchandise that so much went under the table. Like I didn't know about that. They had a Napoleon this and a Napoleon that. And they really had fun making all kinds of weird stuff. And
that's cool.
And that was the stuff I was like, if I can get my hands on one of those, I will. So I do have that. But it's all in a box.
Yeah.
Unlike I do not like putting up posters of my movies or me or pictures.
Yeah.
I had this picture that I did for a photo shoot for Vanity Fair a number of years ago. And it was just a little silly thing. It was kind of a comedic piece where it was just me, but in these kind of weird situations. And for a while, and they framed it. A lot of times when you do these
things,
they
send it to you, like, here you go.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
And I'm like, I'm not going to hang a framed picture of myself in my room.
Yeah, which, by the way, many people would.
Well, no, you're right. And there are, and no slight against them. I don't know. It's just that's me. But my son, he really liked the picture. It was funny. So it's hanging in his room.
See that? Then you can pull that off. That's some of my stand against evil stuff I feel the same way about. And that if you have someone in your life who's like, well, I happen to like it, then it can like live in a place and you don't feel. Because I feel the same way. And I also feel like, I don't know if it's like, I don't think that anybody has ever been depicted in a film having pictures of themselves in their house that's like public pictures, not like a picture of you that your, you know, sweetie took or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, when have we ever seen a good character whose home you go into and there's like a huge picture of them? Yeah, it's always like some a-hole
who's
just the worst person, super like obsessed with themselves and like.
Or it's someone at the beginning of a character arc who by the end will throw these pictures away.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and we see that a lot in like, especially comedies where they have all the, the pictures of themselves. But I mean, you know, I have other actor friends that I've been in their houses and they put up, and there's certain things. It's weird. I guess it depends on the project, depends on what it is. I like the Napoleon stuff because I've always felt like I don't look like that guy.
Right.
And it's so different. And it was actually legitimately really cool stuff that they made.
Absolutely.
And if there's a cool, and like movie stuff from the movie that not pictures of me, but like if it's props.
Yeah.
Or really cool memorabilia like that. I'll put that up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that totally makes sense. That's something that there's not, it's weird. There is like a weird line that for some reason, some of us feel like we can't cross. I think part of it for me truly is I do have a little bit of guilt about doing this for a living. And I think that's, I've talked about this recently on the podcast, but not about the stuff thing, but about the sort of like having parents who are teachers and kind of feeling like I should be doing something bigger and better, like on a one-to-one basis with young people.
Yeah.
Not that they ever, at no time were they ever like, I really wish you did something else. They love what I, do. But I wonder, but I think that might be part of it too. It's like, I can imagine having like a bunch of kids art that from a class that I taught or like a picture of me with like kids in school and being super proud of that. But somehow me with even like the crew of a movie, I would still be like, I get to make movies. This is like, I shouldn't put this on the wall. And it's like, it's already so weird that I get to do this. You know what I mean? Like there might be some sort of shame there. I don't know.
I feel better though. I don't feel as bad about it.
But Napoleon, by the way, is also a totally other thing because that was such a phenomenon as a small thing that exploded. And it's so special.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. And it is something that's like, this is, well, and that's what most people do, the things they're most proud of. And and I'm very proud of that. And I've been very proud. I guess it's really the works that you're most proud of. You want to display as long as it's to a certain degree, it doesn't feel vain.
Right, you know? right.
And the second it feels like, like, okay,
I'm is your proud wife someone stuff, who would like, she would call you on frame, that? Like, she would probably say like, I think we've crossed the line here.
You think of that scene in The Incredibles where Mr. Incredible has his office and he's framed all his like publicity things and all his newsprint. Yeah. And that's a classic thing. And it doesn't make you dislike him because it's a nostalgia. Here's a guy who loved.
But it is rather sad.
It is sad.
You feel sorry for him because you're like, oh, those are his golden years.
Yeah.
That sense of like, I need to preserve these memories
because
we're afraid that means everything good's behind us.
Look, everybody, look what I did one time. But what does help is I get so many people saying that. Why? Like, you got to save all that stuff. You got to do it. I was like, well, yeah, I do. I mean, it's mostly in boxes and like anything I did for magazines. At the time, it was the first time that I'd.
Sure.
If it was a magazine article.
How old were you when Napoleon came out? You were so young.
I was 25, I think. Yeah. So
that sounds right. Cause I feel like that's around the time. Cause I saw it at the Aspen Comedy Festival before it got
I was there.
Right before that where it had just gotten picked up by MTV or something.
No,
it was like, this is this little film that we almost didn't get to see that is now going to be like everyone's favorite movie.
That's so funny.
I saw it before anyone saw it. And so I was one of those
I remember going to that festival, driving up there.
I was such a jerk about it. I was like, you guys, I really was that person. I was like, but I did see it like before anyone knew what it was. So it's cool because I had my Vote for Pedro pin like way before anyone because they gave them to us at the movie.
That's the beauty is that everybody felt that way. Everybody, and I met so many people, and I think that's what was magic about it.
Yeah.
Because people it really did have a release in the theaters. Like, well, and you legitimately really did see it.
I mean, I really did.
If you saw it at Aspen, that was before it even, you know, was officially, I think, when was that?
I remember hearing. I feel I remember it would have been in the winter, so in like February or something. Well, I guess it would have been after it was
picked up by Fox. I think Fox bought it right away.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing, like, I saw it, and the discussion of it was, you know, everyone will be able to see this, but that may not have necessarily been the case because of the way it was made. And so it was definitely a feeling of like, I remember being relieved. I remember like, oh, I'm so glad people are going to see this movie.
Oh, good.
Because you do see some small movies where you're like, me and a handful of people have seen this, and this won't get the attention it deserves. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're totally curious. And that's absolutely how we felt, because we were just like, well, this is great. And even when it got bought by Fox, we were like, well, who knows? I mean, Fox, it's Fox, but they may, I don't know. I assumed at the time it would be in just a few theaters in LA and New York, and, you know, and make a nice little run. And that was totally fine with me. And that's why it was so special, because it did that and it's slow. And that was released in June officially.
Yeah.
But then it didn't leave theaters really until like November. I mean, it was in for so long, but it was always in little select theaters, but it wouldn't be in this state. Like, it'd be in this state and then it wouldn't be in this state.
Well, that's fun. It's like Christmas for a long time, like getting straight, your birthday gets like stretched out for a few months.
Each area, each locale had its own moment where people were going saying, you know what? I don't think the rest of the world knows about this. This is, so everybody felt it was their own personal film. And I think that was like invaluable for us, for the film, even though I like to, like, you know, everybody feels that connection. And that's what I tell people when I meet, I guess, other celebrities or other, you know, people in the business. And I normally don't freak out, and I'm trying to keep it cool. But the people that I'm always like the most excited about is the ones you feel like, this is mine.
Yeah. And, yeah. And that's a really good point.
And either nobody else knows about it or they do, but like, no, I'm the special fan, because I don't think a lot of people know what this is, even though everybody probably does, you know? When you discover something late and you're like, oh my gosh, have you guys seen this? It's like, we saw it. Like,
yeah, buddy, we saw that. Did you, and was that one that started, I seem to remember, because we have a friend in common, my friend Chris, who I like kind of grew up with, that you went to college with. Did he... I vaguely remember like telling him like, oh, I saw this amazing movie, and I think they're people that you know. And I felt like maybe he even said like, oh yeah, when it was like, it was, there was an idea for it that was a shorter film or something that he like helped out with or something. But I could be like totally messing up my memory on that.
If he did some kind of, like, he wasn't there, but we did the short film first. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did the short film in 2001.
Yeah.
And he was involved, and we had like three people shooting.
Yeah.
And had like one, well, the Jared who wrote and directed it and shot it. This is the short. And then we had one guy doing production design and one boom operator, and that was it, and so we did that in 2001, and that made a little bit of the college circuit. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only thing that helped us realize, okay, we've got a cool little world here. Mm-hmm. People, that was the first time I've tasted fame, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It was just random college kids I didn't know. At the time, I was a college student. They were college students too, but they'd be like, I get calls on like my, this is before I had a cell phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Before anybody had a cell phone. And like, how did they get our number? Me and my roommates. And they're like, hey, we really want John to come over to their house and like watch this short with them. You know? Like, so... I mean, yeah, that was the beginning. And then we did the feature like 2 years later.
Were you making, again, just to draw the Chris connection, I was so happy that he asked me to do some of his like video stuff that he would do in high school, because I just wasn't a self-starter that way. Yeah. Like I did plays in, in high school, but I was not going out and making stuff on my own. Yeah. And I look back and I don't feel regretful about it, but I definitely am like, God, I couldn't be more sure that I wasn't that person. And I look at someone like Chris, who absolutely was. And Chris, that was so fun for me to do this. Were you doing stuff like that when you were in high school, or did that really kick in at BYU?
No, I definitely did that in high school.
You did too.
Well, it was high school when my twin brother and I, we got, you know, our dad's video Sony sports cam. So it was a high eight. Oh no, I don't even think it was high. Oh, it might've been high eight. You remember? Cause there was regular video eight and then right. high eight. Uh-huh. Like, all I know is that it was this yellow sports cam because it could take a beating. You could drop
yeah,
it
yeah.
and this, you, and we were like, that was perfect for us.
Yeah.
We would do all.
But when he got it, his intention was not necessarily.
I think, well, he must've been because we did, he loved videotaping all our scout activities. My dad was like ultimate scout master. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Every scout trip he would take it with him and videos tape. So yeah, that was, we loved making.
And where was this? Where'd you grow up?
It was in Oregon.
Okay. Yeah. Where in Oregon?
Salem, Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's up just an hour south of Portland. And we would.
See, that sounds like so much more fun for scouting stuff than like in Tucson.
I mean,
where it feels like a lot of this is about not getting bit by rattlesnakes and not dying from heat exhaustion.
It's great for scouts. It's great learning experiences. It's really more dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so we in high school, we started making videos all the time for fun. And anytime we had a school project, English class, social studies, anytime we had a project,
we're
like,
with it.
Yes, well, let's make a video. And our teachers loved it.
That's
because,
great.
You know, showed resourcefulness. And we were like dedicated and we always got like A++ extra credit whenever I made a video. And like all our friends and all everybody at school was like, okay, these are the Heater twins. We weren't like, you know, everybody who knew who we were. It's not that we were, that didn't make us popular. Like when you think popular,
don't you think that's kind of true of twins a lot of the time too?
I think
it's
so.
Like sometimes they're really popular.
Well, it depends
but
on
also
who,
it could just
what
be,
their
yeah.
relationship.
Right.
We were very, very identical and not just our looks, but our same interests, same talents, sports. We just did everything together.
Yeah.
And because of that, we had that, like everybody was like, yeah, those are the Heater twins. They kind of stick to themselves. And so we kind of felt like we were never bullied. We never picked on. Nobody like made fun of us. But at the same time, they're like, well, they don't think of us when they're inviting friends to parties. And stuff. So
we and they've got never, each other. They're
we were
fine.
Just always floating in the middle. And we had a couple like of our friends. We had a small core group of a couple guy friends that would make videos with us. They were like kind of part of that. It wasn't until senior year of high school that we actually branched out and we made really good friends with a big group of girls. Mm-hmm. It was all these girls and we just became like just besties. I mean, we were almost inseparable. And I think it was for us, oh my gosh, we are branching out. We're meeting girls and they're all girls.
Yeah.
And so I remember, and I think there was just a hunger, just, but I remember so well at the beginning, we're segueing into other like topics.
I'm so seamless.
Oh my gosh. Was that you?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. You're so good. But,
and then I'll go off topic like 80 times and the whole thing will just be a train wreck.
But I remember at the oh man, if she's listening to this podcast, I'll get to that. So, at the beginning of senior year, and it's kind of started because we were asked by a good friend of mine who I knew since, you know, through elementary school. And I was newer and we were friends and kind of friendish. Like we just knew, but we didn't hang out with anybody until like we were on the swim team together and they asked her and a friend asked me and my brother to the winter formal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, yeah, okay. And it was from there that we were basically kind of like, let's start hanging out. And it was them and all and their friends that they had been hanging out all through high school.
Yeah.
And we were just like now the two guys and maybe a couple of our other friends who were friends. And I remember at the beginning of senior year, I was like, okay, I see what's going on. We are hanging out with these girls when we're good friends. I have never kissed anyone.
Yeah.
I have never had a girlfriend. Well, not like, you know, like a grown-up girlfriend.
Right.
I mean, I had like girlfriends in, you know, sixth grade and where you're like, whatever.
We're going together.
Yeah.
That means we
you're going out.
Might
that's always like, we're going out, but you know, your friend is asking for you.
Yeah. And you're probably not actually going out anywhere.
Two channels.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's everything's planned through. Like you have like, it's almost works like you almost have a publicist. You have your one best friend who's like, okay, you're checking. It's like so your personal true. Assistant because they're doing all the communication. Yeah. All right. Hey, he's going to hold hands with you at the Skate Palace at 3 o'clock. Are you ready for that?
God, that fluttery feeling of
But just I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still remember Valentine's Day so well because it was the first time. This is sixth grade. When it was right after I said yes to going out with her. Uh-huh. I don't even remember who asked. I don't remember.
Your gut instinct was you said yes. So maybe she asked you out.
Well, this is sixth grade one.
Right.
Yeah. 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 So, but I remember, Valentine's Day where she made me this, it didn't matter. She got me a box of chocolates and decorated this nice little thing. And I remember those feelings. It's weird because it wasn't love.
Yeah.
But it was the first time as a child experiencing an attraction, a receiving of your attraction from the opposite sex, I guess. It was, I remember it was a high. I loved
it. Yeah, right. It really was.
It really was. And even though we said all of probably three words to each other, in person, it was... I remember those so well. Yeah. Those moments.
And then you had a real dry spell.
Oh, a very long dry spell. Well, once I hit puberty, and then I realized, okay, this is legit. And it was like, I mean, I always had friends who were kind of who were girls, and I could talk to them, but I didn't hang out and whatever.
I'm sorry that I'm contributing to the world's fascination with twins. As an only child, I feel I have the right to because I'm as far away from a twin as you can get with zero siblings. But is that a part of it? I mean, I remember going to school with I rode the bus with these two girls who actually went to a different school, but they were twins and people did just sort of lump them in as if they were the same person. And I remember feeling like I had identity crises at various phases in my adolescence. And I had a girlfriend at one point who we felt so similar and that was so fun for a while. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I had this crisis of I don't want to be just like someone else. Mm. I felt I needed to sort of step away from that and be I don't want people to be might as well have been her that I was talking to. Yeah. Did you ever have that feeling or it's more built in a different way.
I think it's more built in from the get-go.
Because you're born put myself in that position.
I mean, you're sharing the womb with them. And I think it really is instilled. And when I became old enough to realize, high school where you're okay, this is where high school really is when as a child you have to kind of create those social skills.
Right.
And learn how to have friends and learn how to navigate cliques and all kinds of things. And so I guess I became more aware of that, but I was doing fine. Yeah. I mean, besides really wanting to kiss a girl and have a girlfriend, I was fine because again, we loved doing everything the same. So it really was that's how I say it. But I totally, to what you're saying, it is a weird thing when you feel unique as a twin, which is the opposite of how you should feel because you actually have a double.
Right.
Who's just like you. So there's no
that's
uniqueness
true. That's
there.
Really
and yet
true.
Being the twin
is very unique.
Very unique.
That's
and
true.
So I felt we just shared that.
Yeah.
That's a uniqueness. He's still Dan. I'm still John.
Right.
We're still... feel very different.
Yeah.
And it was never, we never had the I love you, bro, relationships. And
did you have ways of distinguishing? I feel like the scholars, for example, Jason always wears glasses.
distinguish ourselves?
Yeah.
By high school.
You look different enough anyway.
We were still very much I think beginning of high school till about junior, sophomore year. We were still just wearing whatever my mom bought us. Mm-hmm. And she was always by us, pretty much the same clothes, just different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're whatever, who mm-hmm. cares?
Yeah.
It wasn't until probably junior year that we just started going to Value Village and all those thrift stores and just buying shirts. So we dressed different. I mean, we had the same style, if you call it a style. But no, we didn't try to differentiate. We didn't really try to do that. I remember senior year banquet, mm-hmm. the senior banquet where they present all the awards, most likely to succeed, uh-huh. most likely to, most inseparable couple we won. And we were and we thought for sure it was our friend and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
They were crazy. And we were what? So we We split off when we walked up to the podium.
Yeah.
To show
everyone.
Path, kind of as a joke, but like, whatever, you guys, this is gross. I'm not holding his hand up there. No, it was, you know, it probably could have bothered us more, but like the not being invited to parties, we never went to like the homecoming games. Maybe we went to one or two football games, but we just weren't part of that scene.
Yeah.
We were never really invited. We never cared. You know, we didn't grow up in sports. And
did you have, do you have other siblings?
I have like four other brothers.
And you are, where do you guys fall on the age range?
We're right in the middle. Okay. My twin and I are right in the middle. We have two younger brothers, and then we have an older brother and an older sister.
Okay.
And we stuck to ourselves, and we made videos. We liked creative stuff. We were really big into art and drawing and just nerd stuff, uh-huh. you know?
And, I mean, were you guys really? You said scout, so was there also because if
there's an outdoor
if you're, if, because thing. If you're LDS, you also have like a tremendous amount of social stuff that kind of gets thrust upon you, not in a bad way,
with
the whole family, you know, just having that stuff, and that's a whole a whole different community of people.
Yeah,
and
you have the stuff. I mean, the church is a huge part of your life, and incorporated into that is the scouts thing. Now, I got my eagle when I was 13 or 14 years old. So it's about like early high school. Cause they say you got to get your boys to get eagles before them. Because once you pass 14, it's real hard. They become more self-aware, you know, socially self-conscious about like, oh, this is nerdy. I'm not wearing scout shirts anymore. I can't be in a club for boys. And yet, because it was in our blood, we got our eagles, but we still went on all the campouts. Because me and my brother and our other friends were in this, we felt like just raggedy dudes who like had fun and messed around. And to us, that was the ultimate adventure. We had found other friends who liked to make videos with us, but we'd take these cameras out into the mountains and make videos. And we'd make all. So I don't regret any of it.
Yeah. I love the idea too of like finding out so early that the thing that you loved doing, which was making videos, actually served you well for things like school.
Yeah.
Like that is kind of a really early lesson of, oh, wait a minute. This is not like this fun thing that we like to do actually also contributes to our school. Like people appreciate because so often, you know, especially creative kids, like depending on, I mean, that's just one of those things where you could sort of see it going the other way, right? Where you love making movies and, you know, school is sort of like becomes a chore or something.
Yeah,
or,
spend all your time
Stop making those stupid movies and turn your paper in. Like, it's cool that you had that encouragement.
For sure.
That early of like,
I just
keep
saw
making
the, I think because before we really got into that, we were always pretty good students and we just came from like, school's important. Let's, you know, do our studies. And when I saw we could use that as an opportunity to like, because I did better when I had a subject to like tackle. All right, here's your book report on White Fang.
Right.
Oh my gosh, we could totally make a video on that. We have a Siberian Husky as our dog, so let's do that.
Yeah.
It really wasn't until senior year when we became friends with all these girls that we actually got a bad case of senioritis and we did pretty bad at school. It was weird. It was the first time. And I look back like I wish I had studied more, but I was just like hungry for these social interactions.
Sure.
But as, going back to what I had said, when I started hanging out with these girls right at the beginning of that school year of senior year, I was like, okay, I made a goal. I was like, I've got to make one of these girls. Like, I got to like go
look
out.
At them. Look at them. There's so many. Come on.
There's so many. And we're like, having fun with us and I'm enjoying them. Like there's got to, you know, like, right. I got to make this happen because this is sad. And I really, and also, you know, it is not just you're doing it because the image, I really wanted to have a girlfriend.
Fair.
And by the end of senior year, one of them was my girlfriend, not to make it sound like this was only my choice. But I worked hard. Well, I worked hard in my own way.
What was your own way?
Oh, man. Very slowly. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. I probably could seal the deal way earlier. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, I mean, the same girl who had asked me to the winter formal and that, you know, that's end of November, beginning of December. I mean, I asked her out again and we'd been hanging out all year. But it wasn't until soon after prom, which is what, late?
Towards the end of the—
that's in May, April or May.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the school year, that it was still like, oh, we're hanging out.
TikTok, and I know, TikTok.
Well, she could tell. Yeah. And she knew, like, everybody kind of knew that we were, like, kind of, like, something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't— it wasn't even until officially after school it ended. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even prom night or anything. Like, but it wasn't until after school ended when I finally, you know, made the move. I make it sound like, but it was like, that was when my first kiss was soon after school officially ended. I think I've held that piece of info back for so long. I just tell people it's senior year, but it wasn't even after.
All right. I love breaking news. Oh, man. Love a little hot goss on
It was like a floodgate. It was just like, we were like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And no, it was great. And we still remain great friends.
I think that's— and so in that time that there was this sort of like budding, like she was sort of the closest thing that you had to a girlfriend before she was even your girlfriend, was— and you guys, obviously you didn't, but like she also wasn't— it's not like she was like— and then she, for a while she was dating this one guy while she and I were still friends.
No, no. I think she was into the idea too. And I, you know, I've never really sat down and talked with her since. Like, were you ever bothered by how slow? I think that was just obvious, like how slow I was going, taking, because I didn't know what to do. And I think part of that, and I think about it all the time when I see, you know, having been, well, my kids are much too young for that yet, but having been a scoutmaster myself and having dealt with a lot of youth and seeing the age and even the awkward ones, the— or my nephews, nieces, they all end up, you know, getting girlfriends and boyfriends like much earlier and doing this stuff. I was like, but they seem just as awkward. How do they have the it's like a confidence thing. And I think a huge part of that was having a twin.
Yeah.
We felt awkward. That was one of the taboo subjects I felt like we couldn't talk about. We didn't want to. We never talked girls with each other.
Interesting. Interesting.
I think partly out of fear that maybe we liked the same girl.
I was going to ask you that. And for then I specifically stopped myself. I was like, ugh, that's such a twin question.
What is? No, but it is. But it's a weird thing because you kind of— we were, I think, afraid of feeling that jealousy. So we just never broached the subject.
Yes.
Even though that's— it was so obvious when we were like, you know, flirting with the same girl. And it's just like, ugh.
It really was happening.
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't it? I mean, if you sort of are— your lives are shaped similarly and you like the same kind of stuff, like what, unless one person decides early on, like, I'm only going to like girls who ride motorcycles. Like,
I think at that point, the common interest was, I'm going to like girls who show any amount of interest in me. That's who I'm going to like. And so, we never really talked in it. And I think because that— making it a taboo thing, we didn't have friends who would— I go like share my secrets with, talking about my crushes. And I think that's a big part of like pushing away that confidence and or subduing it, I suppose. There could have been some confidence there. I think about my son, who— he's an awkward kid. I mean, he's only 7 years old, so whatever. But I think he's probably going to kiss a girl. I hope so. But he probably will much earlier than I ever did.
Right.
Because they just have that. I think when you're alone, it sounds weird. I see everybody else as lone dogs because I have a twin.
Totally.
But not in a bad way. It's there's probably a confidence it brings there. There's, I don't know. But again, I don't regret it, you know, because it's just how it was. I mean, we talk about all the time how much I wish we had twins now, because as children, as toddlers, as babies, my mom always talks about how we were the easiest to take care of. For sure, when we were newborns, it sucked. But sure, because, you know, whatever. Yeah,
certainly taking care— you hear that about
two
twins.
Crying babies.
Yeah.
But once we're old enough to like kind of, you know, to each other, she said we had our own language. And that's— you always have a playmate. And that's the biggest thing, having kids. I'm always like, I love when my kids have friends over. I love taking care of other people's kids. Like, have them come over and come on this trip with us or do this, because when they play with someone else, they have the time of their lives. Yeah. Otherwise, they're at home going, Dad, I'm bored. And I'm like, give me my shirt. You say you're bored one more time. There's nothing to be bored about.
Right,
and I always go back to my brother and I, we'd always come up with the craziest things. We'd go out.
Yeah.
It's because we always had a playmate.
Yeah,
And therefore, my childhood, as long as I remember, even into high school, where, like I said, we were kind of more aware that it's kind of awkward. But even up to that, I have such a glowing memory of my childhood.
You also, I would say you have a glowing memory, and you also have a better memory because you have somebody that you can reminisce with. I think that's I was thinking about that the other day because I was telling the story of how I ran into, it was an extremely random situation where you are like, was that supposed to happen? If so, that seems like a very unimportant thing for God or the universe to have in mind for me. But I ended up, one of my very first jobs here, I ended up running into a kid that I had a huge crush on when I was in first and second grade, and then his family moved away. And
weird.
And I mean, it was
second grade. That's
first
really
and second grade only.
Crush.
And the only reason that it really resonates for me and that I remember it so well is I have a friend that I went to so many different magnet schools that I only have one friend that I went to every single school with. Okay. And he and I have remained friends. And so we keep a lot of those memories alive and joke about them. And he was the best friend of this kid that I loved. And I was working on Catwoman was like, I think I hadn't even moved down here before I got that job. And it was kind of a horrible experience. And, but on this very long, very painful night of like being in a hot warehouse where they're pumping fake smoke in and it's just awful. Yeah. And you sort of have that moment of like, is this what I signed up for? This is not glamorous. Some random dude, they had like, there was no place to put anyone. So everyone was sort of like all the actors, everyone was just kind of sitting together in this hot other area as they set up a shot or whatever. This guy randomly is talking to me. He's there with his girlfriend. She wanted to be an extra. He has no interest in any of that. But she was like, please, why don't you do this with me this one time? This is one time he does it. Randomly, we end up sitting near each other. Randomly, Arizona comes up. One of the two of us says it, and as we start narrowing it down, like, you met someone from Salem, you go, where'd you go to school? You know, whatever. Yeah. And he was like, oh, well, like, I was born in Tucson. Like, oh, we're both born in Tucson. I was born in Tucson, but my family moved away. I barely have any memories of it at all. And I was like, what? And I said, oh, what, really? Do you remember, like, what grade school did you go to? And I don't think he even remembered, because it wasn't until I was like, oh, I'm sorry, what's your name? And he goes, Duncan. And I go, Duncan what? And he goes, Duncan Campbell. And I must have scared the hell out of him. I was like, do you see this scar on my chin? And I lift up my shirt, I show him the scar. I said, I have this scar from chasing you and trying to kiss you in first grade. And I tripped and fell and slid across the concrete at Drachman Elementary School. My dad had to pick me up and take me to the emergency room. So I have this very specific memory.
And he doesn't remember.
He has no memory of it whatsoever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I was like, I can't believe that he did nothing about him looked familiar. Nothing. I mean, it's first,
you
second
would have
grade.
Never
in a million years.
Weird.
And that right, was like grade. Bananas.
Was he like kind of creeped or was just like laughing?
He
had a good sense of humor.
He was as pleasantly like surprised and thought it was as crazy as I did. But initially when I was like, I know exactly who you are.
Sure.
I think
that
he was like,
freaked.
What is going on right now? Because he doesn't really have those memories.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't have anyone. He moved away.
Hard.
He has no one to remember those things with. And so for you two to kind of be bouncing those memories off each other all the way up through your adulthood, I bet you that if you were like in a trivia contest of just like somebody had random factoids from 10 different people's childhoods and you two were there, I bet you'd win because you have more of I think there's more of a design there of retention.
It feels like, because that's how it is with me and my brothers. My sister's the oldest and then there's the five of us. And in between, we have there's the twins, but still we were all pretty close. Mm-hmm. Close in that we have all these memories. And whenever we get together for family reunions or just hanging out, it's always coming up. And any family will do this, but it's just challenging each other's memories.
Yeah.
We're always like, dude, do you remember this? And like, and it is like, and the heart, it becomes heated because we all have very particular memories and very set, but sometimes they conflict,
And
it'll be like, no,
that's a real sociological experiment
It's really
fascinating.
And it's crazy how my younger brother, he'll remember things. I'm like, wait, how did I? And I get upset when I forget something. I'm like, I don't remember.
I know
that.
It's uncomfortable when someone's like, you don't remember.
I remembered everything. It's like, I knew this and that, but I don't remember doing that. But we're always retelling the stories that we're trying to keep those memories alive.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah.
Did you guys, were you like huge, like movie nerds or like SNL kid? Like, did you have your sort of stuff with Dan that was like, we got to do, like, we're always going to do this in the sort of entertainment world, like books that you were like, oh my God, we got so into such and such books. And then we went all the way through those. And
We were, we were total kids of the 80s and everything about it. We were all the brothers. I mean, we were into movies and video games, and we shared so many things together. I mean, all our memories of crowding around the Nintendo and then the Super Nintendo when it came out, and computer games, and we like crowding around and watching one person play. And, but for sure, we were all like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was huge in our house. We all have, and because we're all little different generations, the twin and I were kind of, you know, we were the same, but then we had younger brothers who viewed the turtle toys as like toys that you play with. We viewed it as our action figures that we'd use in our stop motion animations. And then my older brother would viewed it as collectibles. You put it on your shelf and nobody touches it.
Yeah, yeah. That's so funny.
We loved all these things together, but we all had a little bit of a different view and feeling associated with those things. But we all latched on to like the same stuff.
Yeah.
There was a few little differences. But yeah, we, man.
And what about music? Did you guys, were you big into
music?
Music
wasn't until my brother and I went through a music thing in early high school. Mm-hmm. We never were really into music until my older brother gave us his Led Zeppelin tapes.
That's a classic
in middle
story.
School. Yeah. It is so weird because we're still like probably 20 years, 15 years, not too late, but
right.
Led Zeppelin,
not like
of all
new,
the bands,
is
band
yeah.
Yeah, it's not a random band, it's Led Zeppelin. Uh-huh. And still to this day, they remain my favorite band. And nice. I'm always challenging myself, is it because they were the first one?
Yeah.
Of course you want to say that, but I'm like, no, they truly are the best.
Yeah. God, you know, and I really don't have, Led Zeppelin was like just one of those bands that I never, they never really made it all the way through into my world.
Yeah.
Like I had plenty of friends who love Led Zeppelin. It's not like I mean, but could I even name you more than I feel like it's
more
all
than you
it's
know.
All it's all like atmospheric though, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
well,
where I could be like, okay, I know, like I remember the name of this album, never owned it, like would you know?
Yeah.
But also have a tremendous amount of respect for them. There's no part of me that's like, ugh, Led Zeppelin. Well, it's just like it's when you know when those things belong to someone else and
you
don't know why, but you're just like, oh, that's this person. Like,
well,
oh, that's my friend who loves them.
The whole 90s was when we, like I said, we were introduced to this. That was the first tapes we had. And so we would listen to that every night. And I became obsessed with it. And then pretty much from then on out through high school, my brother and I, my twin and I, we all shared music a little bit separately. I mean, my older brother was the first one to own CDs and tapes. And we would just get little bits and pieces of his. But we were just obsessed with classic rock, basically 60s, 70s rock. We go to the local used record store and we just look for tapes. Actually, I guess, it was the 90s. So it was CDs.
Yeah.
Right when we got CD players and we started building our collection of classic rock, and we skipped all 90s, anything that was current.
Uh-huh.
We had a few like Pearl Jam and Stone Temple
Pilots. Everybody ends up with
everybody
a couple of those.
Everybody had Nirvana.
Yeah.
Like, of course, there was a couple of those staples, but for the main part, so many. When I talk to people about like Alanis Morissette or Everclear,
that sounds right.
Some of those other big 90s bands, pop bands, I'm just like, it's kind of over my head. It's like, the sounds sound 90s, but I was never into it.
Yeah.
I kind of missed all that, and we were just knee deep in classic rock.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of our thing. And I'm sure my brothers got a little bit into it when they got some of our CDs, but we carried those around. And
when you were making videos and stuff, were you projecting ahead to like, we want to do this? Or still more of just a fun thing to do?
No, I mean, in high school, I think for sure, early high school, when we started making videos just as brothers, I mean, we saw my older brother, we were all really into that the creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I, my twin and I were very, like, we were artists and we were good at drawing.
Yeah.
Like legitimately pretty good. And my older brother was like the star actor in high school. So he was already into that creative business. We always did the children's educational theater, the local theater scene.
Yeah.
So we all did that. And my younger brother really liked drawing too. And we started making little, you know, just silly videos, and we would put on puppet shows for my parents when we were younger. And then It wasn't until high school when we started making videos. Really, I think it was sophomore year, my parents got my brother and I for Christmas a sound mixer from Costco. So It wasn't like, you know, industrial grade.
Here's your studio.
But it blew our minds because It had the three tracks. You had, you can mix the audio from the source, you know, the VHS tape basically, Or any source that was there.
Yeah.
You can mix a microphone track with the sound effects that came on the sound mixer. You just push a button and You got like a car smashing.
Yeah, that is mind blowing.
And then you have a music track.
Yeah.
So you can put any music in it. It was incredible. That's Once we had that, we just, you know, recorded VHS to VHS, editing all these. We did voiceovers on everything.
I mean,
we
that is so music. Awesome.
It was. And once we started doing that, I think we knew we took like video production classes in high school, and we were like, I want to, for sure, once I leave college or once I leave high school, I want to get into studying film. I want to make movies. And I acted. I just did the air quotes. In for sure in our videos. I mean, who else are you going to get? Like, you act in your own videos. And I liked it. We liked goofing around.
Yeah.
And at the time I remember thinking, well, maybe acting. I just want to get out there and, you know, make these things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it really was in high school when we realized that's what.
And so that's like, and so, and then obviously BYU has a really great film program, which is, I mean, was that a conversation? What am I trying to ask? Is that a happy accident? Was it like, oh, everybody went to BYU, so thank goodness they had a great film program, or this helps serve both
it
things?
You're right. It is almost like a happy accident. I mean, I just assumed most colleges had they all have programs. It's not a film school.
Right.
But my brother had gone and my dad went there. So yeah, for sure. I mean, so often you're like, yes, I hear good stuff. This is supposed to be a good college. I really want to make it in. And we knew they had a film program.
Yeah.
So we were like, if we can get in the film program and do that, that'll be groovy. But the happy accident ended up being as, you know, after we got in there and we got in the film program, it was right when they're opening up the animation department.
Nice.
And that's when our guidance or our career, not the career advisor,
a guidance counselor, I guess?
Yeah, I guess a guidance counselor. Someone who's trying to help you figure out what your majors are and what to do. And she's like, well, you guys like film and you guys really like to draw. Why don't you guys try out these new animation classes? And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. And so then after majoring in film for a few years, then we both got into the computer program.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Or the animation program.
Yeah.
And we both ended up graduating in animation. And
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting.
Loved it.
That's really interesting.
It's kind of one of those things where now it's like, I feel like, well, if I want to get back into it, it's going to take some work, but I mean, I would love to.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah.
God, that's great. We'll have to come up with some show idea to force Nickelodeon to let us make.
Let's do it.
And did you guys serve missions?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how is that? Because I think you're the first person I've had who served a mission, which is it's so fascinating to people outside the church, this idea of putting essentially everything on hold at that really critical time where you're like, yes, I feel like I have a trajectory. I'm in school. I'm enjoying it. You know, there are definitely kids who are like, I'm aimless, so I'm really glad. in retrospect, they're probably like, oh my God, I'm so glad that I went when I did. But feel like that and then to just go, and then did you guys go to separate places and how
we
was
did.
That?
So, I mean, in our family, we already had my dad went on one, my older brother went on one, my older sister went on one. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, in many families, it's like, well, that's what you do.
Right.
Okay. But certainly I remember as even growing up, I was like, well, yeah, you know, it would be awesome. And as you get closer and closer and older, that fear starting to settle.
Sure.
And
gosh.
Yet at the same time, the excitement, I was like, no, I know I want to go.
Yeah.
So we went to a year of BYU first, and then we put in our papers, mm-hmm. We applied, send in your applications and you wait. And then we both got called to Japan, but different missions. So I was in Tokyo and he was in Nagoya, which is crazy. Again, kind of a crazy twin thing.
Yeah.
It's like, because we actually both studied Japanese in high school.
Okay. Well, that helps.
And that does help. I mean, it doesn't always. My brother My younger brother was almost fluent in German, studied German all throughout high school, and went to Korea on his mission.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So that happens. But I think they're like, no, Japanese is pretty hard. So yeah. If you have any experience, yeah. Go.
No kidding. I wish I spoke Japanese. Gosh.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. And so we
and
knew.
And Tokyo. Boy, that is not going to Arkansas, though.
Have you ever been?
You know what I mean? Yeah, I've been to Tokyo. Oh, but like, best. I'm trying to imagine being a 19-year-old LDS missionary,
yeah.
Being dropped into Tokyo and being, yeah. Like, all right, let's do this. This is intense.
The only thing that I was like worried about was.
But they are such gracious, great people. So that in it's probably.
No, I was so excited about Japan. When I got the call, I was over the moon. I couldn't contain my excitement. I was like, this is perfect. I remember before the call, I was like, okay. I actually, weirdly enough, want to go to a third world country. Mm-hmm. My dad served in Argentina. Mm-hmm. My brother was in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. My sister was in Puerto Rico, not third country, but they still all went like Spanish speaking.
Yeah.
And they all had great stories of just poor quality situations.
Yeah.
My brother almost got sent home from dying because he had some
great
stomach
stories.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you how. I mean, everybody, any missionary you talk to has their amazing stories, especially those who go to countries in less stable situations.
Yeah.
Because I remember when he first got out there, he got the stomach virus, and he was on his deathbed for couple weeks, and you know, he got better. But my dad has so many great stories of just like, I needed to find a bathroom right away because you get Montezuma's revenge. You got all these things. And I remember for a brief time, I was like, I want that. I want to go feel what it's like to be close to dying. I wanted that like humility experience. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So I wasn't upset. A good substitute was Japan. I was like, sweet.
Right.
Okay, it's not going to be like rough in it,
right?
But it's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
And it was. That said, Japan has moments where it's roughing it,
right?
Because it's while they are excel in certain areas, you know, there's other. Well, I guess anywhere you go, that's what one thing I learned. It doesn't matter. I lived in a nice house growing up with parents who, you know, were stable and stuff. But as a missionary, you can't afford great. So we lived in apartments that had cockroaches I had seen for the first time in my life. And there was, you know, elements of like, you know, living on your own, not knowing how to take care of yourself a little bit.
Sure.
And you have to figure it all out. But again, going back to the twin thing, I was just like, oh, is this going to be weird? I wasn't worried, but I was like, this will be the first time we're ever separate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a problem.
It was just not even an issue.
Like, I just, when we separated, I think it helped that knowing he was in Japan. Mm-hmm. Not that I like, oh, I gotta have my
brother. We have a 50 mile rule.
Yeah. It was like, Dan, look out your window, southwest. Know that I'm looking in your direction. Can you feel my breath? Can you feel my love? I'm gonna kiss this letter and send it to you. No, it was never like that. We were just like, but it was cool knowing that we'll get back and we can both speak the language.
Sure,
and
sure.
Share all these stories. And it was
back since?
Oh, we went back about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. And we're, you know, we went back for like a week.
Do you feel like you've retained the Japanese mostly?
Ooh, it's getting a little choppy.
I can't imagine.
But it's not still there.
Opportunity. Yeah.
That's a part of your brain.
Yeah. That's just like, you just unlock it.
But it's crazy when we're talking, because the problem is we never practice it to each other. English is so much easier.
Yeah.
But when I, you know, get around a Japanese person, they start talking to me, I'm like, you couldn't, like, slow down.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta remember and recall these words. Wait, what's this again? But I'm sure.
Well, my cousin just ended up, he served in Japan, then he ended up marrying a Japanese woman. So now he has this like amazing connection there and to the language and all that. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
I guess you can live with that regret.
That is the one thing.
You're stuck
with
your wonderful wife.
Like get the Japanese wives. It's like, I mean, you hope, but then you see them like living in Utah and they're just like sad and they're like, do you not even speak it anymore?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. I guess you would want to avoid that too.
it was incredible, you know, being able to go there and, and, you know, coming, yeah.
Then you came back and you kind of dropped in back into
The whole idea school. Of like dropping everything is just like, I was prepared. BYU is certainly prepared for it. They know.
They're certainly.
Like,
yeah.
You know, they're like, oh yeah, this yeah, is part of the deal.
Other people think of it as like, it's like when people freak out that I had my dad for an English teacher, they're like, whoa, that must've been so crazy. You're like, no, I mean, I knew it was coming. Like I made the decision to go to that high school and like, it was fun. And because we all imagine ourselves in our current existence, suddenly everything's different and we're leaving, opposed to like, no, this is like part of a plan that, you know, sort of participated in really early on.
So yeah, dropping everything for 2 years. It's not like I had a lot to drop. Uh-huh. It was like my first year, my freshman year of college is almost a waste.
Yeah.
I just last week, earlier last week, my good friend from my freshman year who I made friends with freshman year of college, it was in town. So we were reminiscing and we were talking about just how poorly we all did in our academics, our first year. And I'm sure that it is how for a lot of college students, but for us, especially like already I had experienced in senior year hanging out with girls and getting to know and having a little bit of a social like awakening, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then you go to college, not only away from your parents, so you're on your own, and that's when you're building your confidence. And there's all these guys on our floor. We lived in the dorms.
Yeah.
And we, Dan and I were almost not rock stars, but like everybody liked us. They loved watching our videos.
Yeah.
We ended up making a 2-hour documentary about dorm life, essentially our floor. And it was crazy. And so everybody was into that. And we were just soaking up. We loved everyone. We were like, there's people and there's like, and in college it's like, I don't know if they were the cool guys at school in high school or not. Doesn't matter. We're all kind of on the
same
level.
It's like
so we're all just
the restart
having,
button kind
yeah,
of. Yeah.
Yeah. And so again, academically, there's nothing to drop. We're just like, let's go on missions, you know?
Yeah. I can't believe how quickly this has gone by. I've moved into our MASH game. That we're going to play. I feel like I didn't warn you about this.
No,
not to say that it needs a lot of warning, but did you ever play this or anyone else play? Okay, good.
Although we played Mash It.
Oh, what is the,
you don't know Mash It?
We
called it Mash It, but it was Mash Shot.
So it's OT. Mansion, apartment, shack, house. And then what is OT?
House and toilet.
Oh man, I am adding that immediately just to yours.
Although I
love that outhouse and toilet are separate. Wait, so you just live inside a toilet or you're lucky and you get to live in the outhouse that just has a toilet?
I always felt it was a little unfair. I was like, wait, what's the balance here? Mansion, great. Apartment, I mean, growing up, shack, no good.
Yeah.
You have like two really good options and one okay option.
And then three.
But then you have terrible. Shack. I guess it's balanced. Shack, outhouse, toilet.
No, this is all terrible, adding it.
It's
I'm excited.
We loved it. Yeah,
I'll never do it again. It's just for you.
You have the option of a shack, already pretty bad.
Yeah.
An outhouse, which is just like.
Yeah, and then a toilet's just like.
Then a toilet.
Then it's just pure hatred. It's like, this game.
Although if you
hates
were living in a toilet, wouldn't you be living in the outhouse?
That's what I'm saying. No. I guess it's a toilet elsewhere.
This is the first time I've questioned that. I just realized, wait, no, whoever decided that fate, no, we're ripping the roof off. You
I'm
only
change.
Have the toilet.
Here's what I'm going to do. O is outhouse, but I think we should come up with a T that's different than toilet that's positive. Like what's a...
Like, well,
like what's
see,
a T
I'd almost
word
put
that's like, it would be a teepee?
Like a studio apartment. Yeah. But that's apartment, I suppose. Yeah. You want a
teepee
positive.
Is the best I can do. How about a tent?
Teepee?
Like a tent.
Ooh,
like
it's the like idea of living. Yeah.
Like
tent.
Yeah.
Meaning
okay.
You're living like in a, like a trailer / tent.
Okay.
Like you're on the move.
Trailer tent.
You're on
the
move. You're in a RV.
Trailer and tent. I like that. That's the beginning
trailer
of the nomadic.
Tent, trailer tent teepee.
That's all
the T's.
They all serve
like
that. Okay, good. Okay.
That's
I feel
a great
much
one.
Better about
some
this.
Some people, that's a positive.
Toilet.
Others, that would not be so positive.
For you, you could handle it.
Oh, yeah.
You would know that. Because this is, by the way, this is also your vacation home. This is not your permanent residence.
Oh,
this
it's not?
This is like, for me, in the way I do it, this is going to be three places that you would want to have a vacation home if traveling to them were not a problem. So give me three.
So I could have a shack that's a vacation home.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not where you live. Oh, this
is
your
second
version.
Home. Yeah.
Okay.
This second. Is all very customized.
Okay.
Yeah. So three places in the world where you would have a vacation home if getting there was not an issue.
Ooh. And I it should so yeah, I want to do all positives.
Or I would say
like
so.
MASH rules, you always had to have a couple negatives, right?
I don't I
like
totally
who are you
gonna
marry?
Those.
You always have to do the ones you have the crush on.
I don't believe in it.
Okay.
For me, this is an outhouse is
but
the
But it created a little suspense when you
gone.
See them counting the
It's up
pass,
to you. I leave it up to you. You okay. can if you want to give yourself a raspberry
no way,
if,
man.
In everyone. Yeah.
Okay, so apartment, a vacation place. Japan is like my, I love yeah. Japan. That's my
Any
playground.
Specific city in Japan?
You know what? I would love, I don't know where, outside of Tokyo, like in the farm country.
Mm-hmm,
have
okay.
you seen, have you seen Totoro?
Mm-mm.
Okay, you know I what I'm think. Talking about, that Miyazaki film.
Yes.
That house that they live in is like a dream. Like that yeah. would be incredible.
Amazing.
Like that's, I always talk, my wife and I actually looked into it last year. Like we want to get a like a Homes Away.
Yeah.
Like a bar house. But I was like, they don't really yeah. do that out in the rice fields country
that's probably true.
Farm area.
Yeah.
They might yeah. do. And we're looking. Believe yeah. me, we're looking.
That's so, anyways, so cool. Okay. So yeah. So like, outside Tokyo and the kind of
outside
farm
Tokyo,
area.
Farm. Yeah. Let's see. We always like the idea of having like a vacation home in the San Juan Islands.
Okay, great.
So that's a little bit closer to home. That's yeah. up in Washington.
Great.
And then if I had a third, I feel like someplace in, like what's a really, I have not been able to go to a lot of places in Europe, but I feel like somewhere up in the Scandinavian countries or
yeah,
maybe Switzerland
it. Love
or
it. All great choices.
Some like up in the mountains there.
Yeah.
Would you love
Switzerland?
The yeah, maybe let's
That's
do
good
Switzerland.
Mountainous. Okay. Switzerland.
I mean,
it's
I've
stunning.
Been to Germany and there's places there is just incredible.
Yeah. Lake Geneva is like, this is the most beautiful place. How is this a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Second category is three movies that you can jump into whenever you want. And you're not reliving the plot. You're just in that world. You're just hanging with those characters or being in that magical place. And it doesn't have to be like Harry Potter, although certainly that's a popular answer. I would probably say that. But it can also,
so
you could, if you want to say like, yeah, yeah. If
so
you want to say like, I've had people say stuff like Goodfellas just because it's
living
so
in that
steeped
world.
In.
Oh, no, that'd be, I think that's, I think yeah. they'd immediately regret that decision. Like, oh, this
right.
is not good idea.
But if you want the adventure knowing that you're yeah. invincible, yeah. Nothing yeah. bad is going to happen to you.
No,
so
you know,
what?
It's all about the world. Thing. And that's crazy yeah. asset because I think about this all the time with like, I already mentioned it and it's crazy because I love Miyazaki films. So
yeah.
I think the world and he creates, even though they're cartoons, he creates these worlds that
yeah.
are like incredible. Kiki's Delivery Service, the town, it's a made up town.
Yeah.
It's kind of this weird European town. Like it'd be the most incredible place to live.
Okay,
it'd
someone put awesome. Kiki's Delivery Service.
Well, but so oh. I guess live, but yeah, but like no, yes, let's
or do
go
you
with
want
that.
Me to just do like Miyazaki.
But living in that world, yeah.
yeah
well,
yeah.
no, a lot of his other ones are different.
Well, then you could pick all Miyazaki films if you wanted to.
No. I got to change it up because there's what is the there's I know there's some historical places or time zones.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can also do a category that's time travel if you want to keep that separate. Like if you want it to be, you can travel to different times.
Well, world. When I think
visit.
Of a world, oh, okay. There are, oh man, you know what? There's been so many times I wanted to like just be in the Mines of Moria.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about? That's the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Lord of the Rings.
Tell me that
places
it's the Lord
in
of
Middle
the Rings
Earth.
Mines. Yeah.
Places in Middle Earth
yeah.
would be so incredible.
Okay,
to
I'm
going to
put Middle Earth overall so you can still do the Shire and.
Yeah, that covers the, do Middle
yeah.
Earth. That covers the Shire, covers a lot of great places.
Yeah, it does. It really
Rivendell,
does. It's kind of like cheating,
Rivendell,
but you got
living
it.
Amongst,
yeah.
Hanging out amongst the elves.
Heck yeah.
And then I think of like fantasy places or
yeah,
I think of like,
I do too. That's where my mind goes for sure.
I think of, places in like Coruscant. I think it's pronounced Coruscant, which is the capital city of the Empire in Star Wars.
Yeah, totally.
That would be pretty awesome.
How do you write that? What's a
it's Coruscant? C-O-R.
Like corset.
C-O-R-U-S-C-A-N-T.
Oh my God.
It's like Coruscant.
Okay.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not that much of a nerd.
I guess I thought that I kind of was, and I clearly am not. Okay, great. Okay, next category is, let's do alternate universe wives, girlfriends, just, you know, whatever, what it could, it might be like, I wouldn't want to spend my life with this person, but, oh, you know, a gosh, few days with. Jeez. And it can be from any time, it could be an actress, but it could also be a character from something too. So
actress or anybody or it can be like, make-believe.
Yeah, exactly. It could Ooh. Be, it could be a fictional person, or it could be someone from history, or it could be a super, you know, a celebrity, whatever.
Yeah. But someone, like, you mean like romantically kind of?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Don't we get in trouble? Oh, you know what? I guess every couple has their, like, you know, you can have your, who, let's see. I'm thinking of, I'm trying to play it safe and think of,
No. Characters. I was going to say there are, I feel like there are rules that are more helpful. Like if you, like if the most dangerous ones, I feel, when I, because I'm friends with a lot of couples who have both done the podcast, I feel the most dangerous ones are current. Like if someone was like Mila Kunis, I feel that those are dangerous, but I feel that like, you know,
I knew you were having dreams about
like,
her.
I feel that like Meryl Streep in Kramer versus Kramer. Like that's when you get into real territory. Cause it's like, oh, this person isn't even maybe alive anymore. Also like it's a very specific person for like, an old movie. Or it's like, oh, I had such a crush on so-and-so when I was younger. Yeah, I could, those are all
that, maybe that's the same place.
Territory.
Like I could cover Diane Franklin, who played Monique.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, you were Monique. There when I experienced it.
Yes.
Monique. Yeah. Like, that was crazy. But, like, when she... Better Off Dead, having Monique. A little French exchange student girlfriend.
That's great.
That would have been amazing. Who else did I... oh my gosh, I had a huge, like... Although she'd probably be a nightmare. But by the... But by the end of the movie, I always loved, cutting edge Moira Kelly's
oh my gosh,
character.
Totally.
Cutting edge.
Oh,
I loved
Moira Kelly.
And it helped. Edge. I was like, well, now it'd be great because I'm great. You know, well, I'm pretty good ice skater. Not the best.
I loved her too. I was like, she's so sassy.
Yeah. Like almost maybe a little too.
It was
too,
very
Taming
of the Shrew, I think. Now that I look back, I'm like, oh, maybe that's what that was supposed to kind of be.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
Who, you think you had so many.
It's also hard to conjure them at the spur of the moment, which is
No, but you think about like old school, there's, I'm trying to think of some of my favorite movies. And so, you know what? Oh, man, I loved, there's something so cute and so sweet and so loving about Holly Hunter and Raising Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's like, great.
He just,
what about
I
her in
her.
Broadcast News when she had nothing,
was great.
But like that, her like unplugging the phone and then having a cry every morning before like getting on with her day. I remember being like, maybe that's how I'll be. My life will be complicated and I'll just need to like get my emotions out in the morning. Amazing. Okay. This is a category where in this MASH universe we're building, In our world that we live in now, there are foods that are not great for you because they're fattening or you're allergic to them. They too many calories or they're, you know, whatever it is. In this MASH alternate universe we're building, they are nutritious and you can have them in perpetuity at the snap of a finger, just in endless supply. And it can be as specific as a thing that's hard to get or it could be just like pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
Three.
Ice cream, for great. Sure. Ice cream all the way. I feel like just that covers everything. Uh-huh. Little Debbie Swiss rolls.
Oh, great. Oh my gosh. This is how the game is played. Well done.
I feel Debbie's so great fantastic. When I can just spit something out.
Fantastic.
And then I'm trying to think of something savory that's not as like, there is a, I don't know if it's bad. Let's see. Yes, you feel like maybe some kind of pizza or everybody does.
First of all, there's nothing wrong with choosing pizza because it's the
best. I know. But
combination
I don't
of
feel
foods
like
ever.
I would
was there something in
that.
Japan that was like ramen?
Yeah,
ramen,
but I always
ramen,
felt
ramen.
Like it was all good. Maybe it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, there was Mabo Tofu was like my go-to dish that I discovered and since loved. But I don't feel like that would be. You know what? Really good ramen shop, like really good ramen, not top ramen, but that stuff is not that It's not particularly good for you.
Not enough to have all the time. Yeah. You wouldn't be like, I know I can eat it every day now.
Yeah.
All right. I would for sure slurp that up. Okay, good.
Forever.
Okay. Next one is, let's do time travel. You said you had an interest in visiting some other time. So let's do, you're in a safety bubble, so nothing bad's going to happen to you. You can see and experience any place in time, future, present, past, whatever.
Yeah. You know what? Oh, that's a, that could work as this. The, I guess it's, the 1890, what was the year? 1894, Chicago World's Fair. So right turn of the century,
yeah,
basically turn of the century.
I'm putting the Chicago World's Fair.
Yeah, just which, like that really white, you see that time city. Area, but that place.
I want to see
area,
it too. I want to see it too.
I would love. I love turn of the century stuff. Just stuff in that time period.
Yeah.
That would be one, a great one. I think it would be great to time period. I think. Part of me, you know, I would love to go back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as you know, time period now, like seeing. Yeah, I don't know. Just
I think I would too.
80s would be incredible. And I think, I feel like, oh man.
I'm going to give you the option of like, you could see Led Zeppelin at their height. You know what I mean? Like if you went into.
I was about to say, it was like maybe 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Because I used to be, well, and I still kind of am obsessed with the 70s.
Yeah.
And that used to be my go-to answer for the longest time.
Yeah.
But maybe it's so close to the 80s.
Maybe
I'd say 1976.
Okay.
Like that replaces the 80s. And then the other one I choose is like maybe the roaring 20s.
Oh, or sure.
Like I love like that.
Flappery kind of.
Essentially the Great Gatsby kind of era. And
sure.
I don't know. I think there'd be some great.
It was called the Roaring Twenties. I mean, that's pretty spectacular. Those periods in between the two wars, I think, were like.
I mean, I guess if you had a time bubble, I mean, ultimately, yeah, going back, you think of a time period and a place, really anywhere, geez, from not so much the 1600s. That just seems drab and depressing.
But like the Renaissance but or something?
Maybe the Renaissance, like if you're saying in Europe, you're right. It's like a time period plus where.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously so many places in Europe during like the Renaissance, but even more so, I think, you know, the frontier when it was just being born would be incredible to just kind of see. That would be awesome.
Okay, so am I putting Frontier?
Yeah.
Like the American
the
Frontier.
The new American Frontier.
Did you watch any of those PBS, those like We Make People Go and Live the Way People Used to Have to Live shows? Okay, you should watch Frontier House. In part, like,
you'll change your mind.
You will change your mind.
Oh, for sure.
But also, I was indoctrinated with so much pioneer stuff as a Mormon kid that I think I have, there's like leftover sort of like passion about that also.
Yeah.
So I think there's part of that, but there's like a few families that they send out. This is a PBS show where they send out these families to like, in some cases the house is built. One of them I think has to build their own home, but it's like they keep cows and they're learning how to bake and they have to live like they're in the frontier. They did a whole sequence of those. They've done like, I think the one that's on now is like Victorian slum house. But they've done like colony house, this kind of house.
Yeah.
That, and I run through a tear where I was watching all of them, but I would kind of get tired of all of them after a few episodes. I'd be like, I get it.
Yeah, I get it. It sucks.
I stuck with Frontier till the end. I was like, I'm a real Western girl. Yeah. Like I'm such a Frontier fan.
Yeah. Kind of like when you think really of like Little House on the Prairie. Yeah. Like,
you should check it out. Check out Frontier House. I bet you would really like it. Okay. That's good. Oh crap. I'm really keeping you here long. Okay.
No.
Next category is you wake up tomorrow with, it could be a talent, a gift. I'll even go as far as it could be supernatural, that you've downloaded Matrix style where you're just suddenly I know Kung Fu 3.
I've always wanted to be really good at a musical instrument. Okay. I think everybody says that, but you know,
is there one in particular? Or do you want me to say you're a musical genius?
The realist part of me wanted to really get good at the clarinet because I did play that in like fifth grade, and then I gave that and the saxophone up right before going into high school because I did not want to be in marching band.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember I was pretty good at the saxophone. Uh-huh. I was in the jazz band and I saw some promise there musically. I always played piano and I could never pick up the piano, but like the woodwind, uh-huh, I was able to pick up.
That's
and
great.
Like, sorry. So to this day, yeah, you know, I'd love to be really good at the one thing that I feel like not everybody is like into. So the clarinet.
I love it.
If I could be a master clarinet.
Great.
Clarinetist. I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
I think that sounds very right. Clarinetist.
That skill would be incredible. I always really, you know, some kind of physical sport. I think it'd be awesome to be like, you know, those high octane, extreme sport, like those. I think if I was really good and knew resource wise, but knew how to do it safely, is like the sky suit dudes.
Oh,
like,
yeah, go, totally. I knew you were
like,
gonna say that. I think that,
sailing by the mountains and just narrowly escaping death every moment
huge
of their life.
Absolutely.
That, and I don't know if that fits in with like extreme, like snowboarding down like, or skiing down like giant mountains. So yeah, extreme sports, more like
like squirrel suiting.
Not parasailing. Yeah, squirrel
That's
suiting.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
That would be incredible. Man, I'd almost want to say that should, maybe that just is replaced by my deepest, as early as I can remember, desire of all time and to this day, the ability to fly.
Yeah,
like, I would
great
fly. So I almost feel like that replaces that.
Okay, I got it.
Flying.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Like, in, you know, without a doubt, everybody talks about the invisibility or flying.
Right.
It's like, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
Yeah, invisibility, creepy.
Yeah.
Flying. Flying.
Yeah.
And then the sad part that we all wish we could is to be able to have chronovision. Mm-hmm. Look back in any point in time in your life, or I guess anybody's life, really, back in time and pinpoint certain moments, like, what happened then?
Yeah.
And look back. And it's like, you know, when you're in an argument, that's not how happened. That's not how happened. Well, I can use it to go back and check this out. This happened.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Great.
That would
as
be
long
incredible
as it's for revenge.
We could reveal the truth on so many
well,
things.
That's certainly true. That
no, not not
true
for revenge. I would.
No, I'm just teasing.
I honestly would probably use it like the other category, just going back in time and just seeing stuff.
Yeah, checking it out.
But
fair enough. Fair
but
enough.
Seeing how it really was. Yeah. No, what really happened?
Yeah. Let's take a look, shall we?
Yeah.
That was a Black Mirror episode. But it was, of course, depressing because
that
everything in that
everything
is.
In that show.
Okay. Next category is three. Let's do three. It's not really that they're pets, but it is like a fantasy, sci-fi sort of fictional creature that I won't reduce by saying they're your pet, but like three that like magical creatures that you hang out with.
That you could be either your pet or your buddy or placed in charge and you could stable one of them.
Exactly.
Not have to take care of the hippogriff droppings.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I am a child of the 80s. Falcor was like, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? Just everybody wanted their luck dragon.
They really did.
Who would, I guess he didn't grant wishes, but he was lucky. And that was as good as to get back on all the bullies and all the kids.
That's right. Absolutely.
And it's flying once again.
Yep.
Almost like
you
any
got
kind
covered
of flying creature. What? Let's see. What else would be an awesome little, I think like some kind of, wolf or, oh, you know, if I had to choose like a little, like a fuzzy buddy, one that's not going to be scared, but like a little fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some
great
kind of like a fox.
Great. I love a fox.
I'm dropping it for my son. He'd be like, oh, yes. they've been talking like they want a fox so bad as a pet. And I'm like, they're starting to domesticate
them. I want
a raccoon
so bad as a pet.
It's so funny. Well, you got to clean that sucker up.
Never going to work out.
I don't think they
that
domesticate.
Guy,
do people have pet raccoons?
That little guy would take apart everything in this house and destroy
but a
everything.
Fox, I hear, is like a
adorable hands.
A perfect blend between a cat and a dog.
Yeah. I love foxes.
So maybe a little fox for realism.
Great.
Luck dragon for, you know, all the big stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then, trying to think of another, maybe a fantasy creature, I don't know if they'd be a pet. They'd be like smart, like a little. Remember that old cartoon, The Littles?
Yeah,
And like just someone just little who I could like
just a little buddy
and talk to and just, but they'd be super useful and they'd help me out. And I wouldn't be using them.
Yeah.
It's all them wanting to help me out.
Right, right, right.
Like, hey, can you go through that little keyhole? Hey, yeah. Can you make me a little breakfast? Uh-huh. Like, thank you. Remember Midge and Pee-wee's Big Top Pee-wee?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
oh my gosh. Midge. Yeah. Gosh, I haven't seen Big Top Pee-wee in a long time. Okay. All right. And then final category for you. Maybe like three things that you wish, like in this world, you can almost like claim responsibility for. Like, oh, that movie? Actually, that was my movie. Did you not know that? Well, like so things funny. You love that you get to kind of
I do that so much with songs. Like,
okay,
music.
There you go.
I always had like
three songs.
Fantasies.
You're like, why isn't that? Why didn't I write that?
Sometimes movies, but I felt like I had fantasies as a kid. Like I was, even as young, like, you know, high school, I was like, I'm the go-to like song doctor who comes in and like, puts a spin on this song. Like, uh-huh. Oh, this is a good band, but their best song, I came uh-huh. in and I helped create that.
Okay. Yeah. So it can be all songs or it can be also, it could be oh, any, man. Like,
there
it was, could be like, I wish
so
I...
many Led Zeppelin songs I wanted to claim.
Like, I love this. I'm so glad I picked this. This is your last category.
I mean, really, I did. It was the first time I remember thinking it was kind of funny, like having dreams that I was the guy who was doing the insane guitar solo at the end of Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
It sounds very cliche, but that guitar solo.
Yeah. There's like, a reason that it's beloved, you know?
That I was up there and just, oh.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times
right
I
now,
pretended
guys.
I was there up there yeah. on the stage. Just like.
Great. Great.
So there's that. There is probably, I wish I was like, oh man. I think so much of what, you know, Chromeo is a band that does, they're just that total throwback to the 70s, 80s,
yeah.
both soft and great funk pop.
Yep, yep.
And there's, you know, I think just being responsible if I was originally part of that too. Was,
okay, you
know,
great.
Like, if me and a buddy were like, dude, we're getting out and making that music.
Yeah, great.
That would be awesome.
Great.
And then, it's so funny. This is the kind of stuff that you kind of people think about. And
yeah.
I got to log this stuff down.
I know. I know. It's funny. Every once in a while I do this category. I don't think I do it too often. And I sometimes daydream, like, you know, as I'm waiting for you to think, I'm like, what would I say? Cause I am really bad at this game also. Not to say you are. I mean, like I am consistently not the person who should be
yeah.
asked those things, but I'm good at asking. But just now I thought like, I wonder, like I was trying to think outside of the box and I thought, oh, maybe like to be at, like, if I could have been like an Imagineer and I could be like, oh, do you like Pirates of the Caribbean? Yeah, I designed that ride.
Oh yeah.
That all of a sudden hit
me
as like a thing.
I really just started thinking big. And
yeah.
Like, but I just go to like, if I had been responsible for making like Back to the Future.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah.
And it's not that it's my favorite movie,
yeah.
but still being
the iconic.
The iconic. Like I tell yeah. people, that is probably if you took a poll of every single film ever created, probably the most beloved film. In that, I don't think you'll find many people who hate it.
Right. I agree with that.
And people, and like tons of people have seen it, and most people, everybody's probably seen Godfather, but not everybody's. It's. Most people will feel like, well, I have to say I like it.
Right, right.
And they most likely will, but it's not for kids.
Right,
and it's
right. It's not a crowd pleaser. It's not
well,
necessarily
it's not,
like.
I mean, and it's incredible. And there's so many great films out there. But that is one I don't think you'll meet a lot of people who will say they disliked
Agreed.
Back to the Future.
I think that's a great
and to
theory.
Have that kind of a universally loved
yeah.
thing.
That's a great, I think that's yeah. a great one. Okay, now I'm just going to do those little, you know, little squiggles,
yep,
hash
yep.
marks, whatever. So you just tell me when to stop and then I'll know what my eeny, meeny, miny, mo number is.
Tell me when you start.
I'm starting now.
Okay, stop.
Wow.
Yeah,
guys.
I love to throw
unprecedented.
People off.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave. okay, so I'm going to pause this. I'm going to do my calculating. I'm going to come back with your 100% guaranteed
okay.
fictitious MASH future. You're right. I enjoyed this. I enjoy being told the story of what you end up with if you have to have that much bad stuff and all the sort of gasping that would happen. But I'm also really glad that I don't do that because this is just all positive all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
That really was so. It was so fast. I almost was afraid I was doing it wrong.
Oh, because of that.
Yeah,
because
it was such a no. It's yeah. good. Listen, this is great. I think it paid off for you. I hope you feel the same way.
With only positives, it can only.
I know
pay off
it really great. Is, and not only that, but let me just be the first to tell you, and the only one to tell you.
Well, the first, it may happen again.
That you ended up with a mansion.
Yes.
In Switzerland.
Oh my gosh. You
lucky dog.
A mansion in, man, oh. I don't want to tell this to my wife. She's going to be like, so like, yes, there yeah. you go. That's a great idea. Let's go.
Let's go get a mansion in Switzerland. How hard yeah. can it be? You have two means of getting there, of puttering around while you're there. I want you to know that you can fly.
Yes.
Through those Alps and anywhere else you so like.
Oh my gosh, this is the best place.
Guess who's flying right beside you? Falcor.
Falcor?
Yeah. Need a little break? Take a nap on his back.
Oh my
continue
gosh,
flying.
You're right. That's right.
Yeah.
He'll show me like the ropes.
Oh yeah. He'll be like, tired, oh my gosh, you haven't flown to the sea caves of.
You're right. And when I'm tired, I can get on his back. And oh my gosh.
This is going to be great. Okay. So Falcor, Switzerland, mansion. Flight
so far a very European existence 100%
now
Falcor, that's
here's
all.
Where we break that off you're mm-hmm. going to be very hungry. I want you to know that in all this excessive flying that you're doing, you can replenish on Little Debbie's.
Now wait, was that all I get to eat?
No.
Oh,
that's
okay.
just as
but
much as you want of, as yeah, yeah as much as you want in perpetuity.
Little Debbie's Swiss
nonstop.
Rolls again.
Oh yeah, you're
what's
right.
with the
it
Switzerland
is Swiss.
Thing?
I thought of that as very American, yeah. but you're right. It's incredibly Swiss.
Well, Little Debbie's I think are very American. But
how about this American? Yeah. How about this America? How about you travel back to the white city of Chicago
yes.
at the World's Fair?
Yes.
If you can stop that horrible murdering madman
yeah,
from
yeah,
yeah. hurting people, H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
H.H. Holmes?
Yeah, H.H. Holmes.
I want you to rest assured that if you need a break from all of these perfect worlds that we have given you, you can also go into and hang out in all of the areas of Middle Earth. You lucky
okay.
jerk.
Can Falcor come with me?
Can you?
It's just
can
a
Falcor?
Bubble for one.
You know what? I'll
well,
tell
I can't
you
wait
can
to find out
you.
Who my
yeah,
girlfriend's
I'll tell you who you can travel. Let's assume that you can travel to Middle Earth with your significant other and do all these other
okay.
things. I'm. The only thing I'm worried about is you are going to be really busy because I know you and your friend are Chromeo. So I just
okay.
want to make sure you have
all
time
right.
to still
okay.
record your music with all of this that's going on. But I'm sure all this will be very inspiring to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to take a break from all that and head into Middle Earth with Monique from Better Off Dead.
Yes.
Easily
I guess it's a
the,
winner
for- I mean, the most like together, least emotional. Least sassy,
oh, that's true. That's
the most
true.
Adorable, like probably the best choice, like probably the person you actually want to go
the
with.
The other two are probably like wrecks.
Yeah.
And like, but
Monique's very together.
We're going to be in Switzerland close to her hometown.
That's true. People speak French in Switzerland.
Go.
There's no doubt about
and
it.
She's a skier. Oh my gosh. We can ski the Alps.
That's so good. She's
this
an excellent
perfect.
Skier. She can, I think she can ski the K-12.
But unfortunately, she can't fly like I can. So it's like, Monique,
she's
check out this jump.
Yeah.
And I just take off flying.
Well, Falcor. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You hop on. Right oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You hop on Falcor.
So
I'll fly next to you.
It's still fine.
Yeah.
John, that is the conclusion of our podcast, with the exception of one final thing.
Yeah.
That I also didn't warn you about, which is because this is the Boys of Summer series. I need to ask you to sing a snippet of Don Henley's Boys of Summer. Anything that you can just remember off the top of your head is qualifies. Or
after
you can...
the...
That was a good start.
I mean, oh man, I don't know the words. It's like, got a dead head, saw a dead head sticker on a Cadillac. I've been on town, you'll never look back. Don't never look back. Well, empty days. What I'm afraid of, I can't see you. Birds keep shining in the sun. It got the hair pulled down back. And also, oh man, holy crap, the words. I can't tell you my love for you might still be strong after the boys of summer have gone. I do love that song, though.
I'm glad.
But
I'm glad. Oh, I think you did overwhelmingly well.
I'm glad I didn't choose that for like the song I'm responsible for. It's like, that is not the words.
You're going to rewrite all of those lyrics. Thank you so much for doing the podcast. You. Where can people find you? What do you want people to know about?
Well, I mean, I do have Twitter. I never use. I'm on Instagram. I use that more often.
Okay.
At Heater John for both of them.
Okay. At Heater John. No underscore or anything. Just no underscore. Name. Great.
And yeah, I mean, you can see, you can hear me on lots of random stuff. My favorite, Pickle and Peanut, is a show I do on Disney Channel.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Like one of the best things I've ever done.
Pickle and Peanut. How can it not be great?
It is. Those it's are two so words I love. So much fun. I've never had more fun like doing.
That's great.
Besides doing a bit on Korra.
There it is.
And yeah, you can hear me there. And then I've got a movie coming out in the fall called The Tiger Hunter.
Nice.
The great like Indian film. And I'm like the only white guy, and it's great.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
And then there was I think that's it for other like indie films. Is there another one? I always feel like there's a couple floating out there that haven't been
released. Yeah, because it takes so long to get turned around some of those.
We shot this like back in 2014.
There
and
you
it's
go.
Now getting, but it's a great film. So check that out. Okay. In theaters coming this fall.
Okay.
So.
All right, guys. Keep your eyes and ears open. The Tiger Hunter. I will talk to you next time on the podcast.
Sweet.
Bye. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.